Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 3 o'clock here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. A raucous weekend in the world of sports locally and nationally. We'll break it all down for you coming up here over the next 3 hours. Programming note, top of the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by my guy David Aldridge, senior reporter for The Athletic. We'll talk to DA about everything that's going on in the sports landscape. We'll ask him about the pivotal offseason upcoming for the Washington Commanders. We'll ask him a little bit about the Wizards. They snapped their 16-game losing streak last night. Yuck, I know. And we'll also ask him about the trade that shook the earth last night to its core. We'll get to all of that as the show rolls on here. But I got to start with history, man. And I feel like I take it for granted maybe as a younger cat that, admittedly so, doesn't follow hockey as much as a diehard does. When you get to watch Alex Ovechkin continue to make history and to continue to scratch and claw to catch Wayne Gretzky, it sort of encapsulates just how special, in my opinion at least, this Capitals season has been. Alex Ovechkin last night lighting the lamp once again, moving one step closer to breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. Alex Ovechkin scoring goal 24 of the season last night, 877 on the career. The magic number, ladies and gentlemen, now down to just 18. Caps and Jets last night in a barn burner over at Cap One Arena. Here is John Walton on the call for goal number 877 for the Great Eight.
And now on the right wing and down to Thompson. And the trapezoid looks far wing. Now reversing back to Ovechkin. Alex Ovechkin, 100 points against the Winnipeg Atlanta franchise. 100. Back now for Ovechkin. He scores! He scores! Ovechkin into the zone from center point. Oh, baby, the Capitals have come back to tie it on goal 877 for Alex Ovechkin. We've got ourselves a ball game. It's 4-4.
That was John Walton on the call right here on 106.7 The Fan. And as you can hear it kind of in John's voice, it was a barn burner. Like I said last night at Cap One Arena, the two teams that have the most points right now in the NHL, Winnipeg and Washington, duking it out last night. And I will give credit where credit is due because, like I said, as Alex Ovechkin coming back from injury continues to scratch and claw his way towards Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record, last night was a special hockey game to watch if you got to check in. Because I think if you haven't watched the Caps all year long and you got to tune in last night perfectly embodies what this team has been. They scratch, they claw, they battle back. For them last night to be down, but they end up being down 2-0 last night or 3-0 last night
they were down two goals.
Down two goals
Ovi's
early.
Ovi's goal tied it to send it to 4-4 at the end of the third period, basically.
So to think about it, put it in perspective, this is a damn good Winnipeg team. And for Washington to get down for the second straight game and then to come back, force overtime, and then secure a point, this is why they've got the second most points right now in all of hockey, because this group battles and scratches and claws. They find a way to get at least 1 point a lot. It is very impressive what we've continued to see. And if you just box score watch, Logan Thompson back in net last night. They end up giving up 5 goals. I'll put it this way in terms of the defense the last 2 games for the Caps, because if you watch them the other night as they were in overtime against Ottawa as they wrapped up the road trip, goals are sneaking by the tenders in net. It was Lindgren in net the other night against Ottawa. And I would say the Caps defensively, they're blocking shots well. They've had these small miscues here and there that have ended up letting goals slip by. But, man, last night, if you watch this thing, they struggled early kind of to get offense going. And credit to Winnipeg, right? We're talking about the 2 best teams in hockey right now, locking horns, going blow for blow last night. It was really cool to watch. And I think what I continue to be impressed with this group is the game within the game. And I still think, and we were all lost in the magic of the Washington Commanders season, right? 12 wins, NFC championship berth for the first time since 91. It feels like the Caps have been playing kind of the background, so to speak. And now that football season is over, we will get hot and heavy into this group because they're playing as good a hockey as anybody in the NHL. They're a tough group. They're a physical group, and they're getting contributions from guys that you wouldn't expect. Last night, once again, it's Pierre-Luc Dubois lighting the lamp. He has been an absolute godsend. And anybody that follows this thing a little bit closer than I do, you understand PLD has kind of found a home here in Washington, right? And you think about the way his career has gone over the past couple of years. You bring him into a locker room like the Caps, a healthy, positive locker room, and you get your swagger back, so to speak, man. He has been a godsend for this group, and it's been exciting, you know, to watch him continue to grow and develop. I think it was it against Ottawa you had Connor McMichael light the lamp twice, man, the young pups getting in on it. This is a fun Capitals team, and now that football season is over, I hope we as a DMV region can truly get to appreciate what this team is. They are all guts, no glory. And I go back to the offseason, and the story was, wow, the Caps are active this summer. They're using cap space. They're making trades. And you're seeing them kind of reap the fruits of their labor here, so to speak, man. They put a decent team together. But I think anybody that covers this thing super closely will tell you they are 110% outkicking their coverage right now. And what are we, almost 51 games into this thing, so to speak? This is real. This is who they are at this point. It's been exciting to watch. The defense for me is something that I continue to be impressed with. Obviously, we know Logan Thompson's numbers. That's why he got the contract at the start of last week. But this is a group, man, that I think is going to be a legitimate contender down the stretch. I don't see them falling off. Last night going up against Winnipeg, yes, you lost this game. And I mentioned kind of why I think they lost. They just started off slow offensively. But for them to be able to scratch and claw their way back into the game, Ovi obviously ties it up at 4 goals apiece. And to get down 2-0, 3-0, and to still secure a point, I think is the impressive thing with this group. They will be fun to watch as we continue to roll throughout the stretch run of the season here. The Caps, though, losers last night in heartbreaking fashion. Back-to-back 5-4 overtime losses for the good guys. They'll have the next couple of nights off before they are back home for another heavyweight tilt. They host Florida coming up on Tuesday. A lot more to get to here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest and Charles Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock. what comes on after myself, coverage of the 2025 Pro Bowl. They should just leave me on all day long, because who the hell cares about the Pro Bowl?
I'll play flag football with you.
Yeah. I mean, what a disgrace. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. What a disgrace the Pro Bowl has turned into. It's nasty. It is nasty. This show, though, not nasty. It's actually quite tasty. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, about David Aldridge going to join the program to discuss the trade that shook the sports landscape last night. I'll give you the deets next. Just getting rolling here on this Sunday afternoon edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 3 o'clock. A lot to get to. If you're just now joining us, we opened up the show. Alex Ovechkin lit the lamp last night, scoring goal 877, getting one step closer, 18 goals away for the grade eight, 18 goals closer to passing Wayne Gretzky for the most goals in NHL history. Last night was awesome to watch. You got to see Winnipeg and Washington, two of the best teams right now in hockey, go head-to-head. Obviously, the Caps come up with the short end of the stick. But after the game last night, you're probably sitting and scrolling on Twitter. If you're like me, you're scrolling TikTok. You're looking at, you know, all of the college basketball that was going on yesterday. I mentioned it yesterday when we were on. I mean, just a big-time day in college basketball as well. You get to see the Wizards snap their 16-game losing streak last night, albeit against a Timberwolves team that was pretty much gutted. No Anthony Edwards, no Rudy Gobert. I mean, they were missing basically their entire starting five, yet Washington was able to come away and snap the win streak. That's all fine and dandy. But then at about, let me see when I officially put this out on my old Instagram. At about midnight Eastern time, Sham Sarania of ESPN, their NBA insider, absolutely what I like to call breaking the internet. When he put the damn tweet out, I had to read it 3 or 4 times to make sure I was reading it correctly. Then there was this moment of nostalgia of like, wait a second. Did Shams get hacked? I swear that's what everyone was tweeting last night as the news broke. Did Shams get hacked? And then I believe it was Bobby Marks of ESPN who quote tweeted Shams and said, no, this is real. A blockbuster trade last night that completely shifts the power dynamic in the Western Conference for years to come. A 3-team deal that sends Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers, Anthony Davis to the Dallas Mavericks. And it's a deal that, quite frankly, stunned the NBA world, stunned the sports world last night, man. So much so that people are quote tweeting Shams saying, have you been hacked? Is this real? And there are so many different ways to look at this thing. And we will break it all down here over the next half hour or so. I'm just straight up stunned that it actually happened. Here after the fact, right? After the fact, I'm looking at it in hindsight going, man, did this really happen? And I think based off of the tweets of players and some of the comments from executives around the league, no one saw this coming. No one saw this coming. Traditionally in the NBA, when you have seismic deals pulled off like this, it is extremely difficult to keep things quiet, to keep the noise in the background so that your favorite reporter's friend doesn't hear it and leak it out. There was no whispers of a potential Luka Doncic deal. This came out of left field. Luka Doncic to the Lakers, Anthony Davis to the Mavericks, the ancillary pieces that make this trade possible. Utah comes in as a third team. They take on the $8 million contract of Jalen Hood-Schifino. They acquire the Clippers' 2025 second-round pick and the Mavericks' 2025 second-round pick. The Lakers, in addition to Doncic, get Maxi Kleber and Markieff Morris, from the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas obviously gets Anthony Davis. They get Max Christie. and then they get the Lakers' 2029 first-round pick. The deal was an absolute stunner. And as I try to compartmentalize what happened, my initial first blush reaction is, boy, must the Dallas Mavericks hate Luka Doncic. I mean, seriously. For a player of Luka's caliber, 25 years old, ladies and gentlemen, for a player of Luka's caliber to be dealt for just Anthony Davis, pretty much, if you are the Lakers, I mean, that's nowhere near enough. That is, to me, the first thing that I look at with this deal is, hey, Nico Harrison, the general manager in Dallas, this is all you could get? This is all you could acquire for Luka Doncic? And I think there were some relationships that play a role in the background here that I think helped this deal get done quietly. Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, and Rob Pelinka of the Lakers have history with each other. Nico Harrison's got the Nike background, obviously, so they know each other and have crossed paths through that. But, dude, I could not believe it when I saw it come across my ticker. Luka to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, pretty much. Luka Doncic, say what you want about Luka Doncic and the way that he talks trash and the shot selection and whether or not he's an ideal teammate or not. You cannot argue with the numbers. He is the best young player in the association. It's not even close. He's been averaging 28-plus points per game since 2019 when he first entered the league. He is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. And at 25 years old, getting a fresh start in L.A., who knows where Luka Doncic takes his career after this move? This is a guy that has been all NBA ever since he stepped foot into the league. This is one of the bona fide stars, first ballot Hall of Famers that you're going to see in this sport. So for Nico Harrison and the Mavericks to move on from him for pennies on the dollar, somebody's got some splaining to do. We will continue to break down all angles of this trade on the other side of the break. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, your reaction to the most seismic deal in a long time in the NBA. That's coming up next here on The Fan. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, remember, we'll have senior NBA writer for The Athletic, David Aldridge, join us. We'll get his thoughts on this move. Luka Doncic traded to the L.A. Lakers for Anthony Davis. We'll continue to break down the deal next here on The Fan. The number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 3 o'clock. Our coverage, Westwood One's coverage, rather, the Pro Bowl game's coming up at 3 o'clock. In about 25 minutes, we'll be joined by senior writer for The Athletic, David Aldridge. He's been covering the NBA for the last 37 years. And when the tweet came out last night from Shams Charania, David Aldridge just as shocked as the rest of the entire sports landscape. Luka Doncic, in the wee hours of this morning, traded to the L.A. Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. There are so many different ways to look at this trade. The first thing that I said in the last segment, man, I just look at Dallas and go, man, if you, there's going to be reasoning that comes out and logic that comes out for why Dallas wanted to move on from Luka Doncic. There are plenty of rumors swirling out there right now about this deal. And to me, when you look at this thing on first blush, I look at it from a financial situation. I look at the financial piece of this thing and go, okay. Initially, what has come out, and I want to read some of these quotes from Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, because it sure as hell seemed like he's trying to save face. I just, This is a tweet from Bobby Marks that kind of sums it up. He says, I've never seen so many team executives not involved in this trade. Stunned. So this was a deal that was done behind the scenes with really only Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison talking. And here is the thing about Luka Doncic. He has played 22 of possible 49 games this year. And there have long been talks about how motivated Luka Doncic is to be in shape. But one thing I will say about Luka and his conditioning, did his conditioning last year stop the Dallas Mavericks from punching their ticket to the NBA Finals? Did his conditioning stop that? Because here's what Tim McMahon of ESPN tweeted, and he is somebody that covers Luka and the Mavericks very closely. He is their team reporter for ESPN. Tim tweets, the Mavs had major concerns about moving forward with Luka due to his constant conditioning issues and the looming commitment of another Supermax contract extension this summer. Luka Doncic was eligible for a $345 million Supermax this summer from Dallas. And if you are the Mavericks, your unwillingness to commit to that money with Luka, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm just going to be honest with you. I understand the conversations around the conditioning, and obviously the people in Dallas understand what makes Luka tick the most. Talking about Luka the man, Luka the player, they understand that more than anybody. This is a guy that has been all NBA, though, for the past 4 or 5 seasons. He is a bona fide stud. You cannot name me 5 players walking God's green earth that are better than Luka Doncic. When you add in the fact that he is 25 years of age, this is one of the most stunning trades I've ever seen. And my issue is this. Nico Harrison, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, choosing to go about this way, I'm just going to call it what it is for lack of a better word, it's stupid. It's just flat out stupid. You're telling me in a world where Rudy Gobert, right? In a world where Rudy Gobert was traded for 5 first round picks. You're telling me Luka, a 25-year-old phenom that's going to go down as one of the game's best players ever. You're telling me you can only net 1 first round pick for him? The hell with Anthony Davis. The hell with Anthony Davis and what he brings to you to the here and now. And I will say this. From the here and now standpoint, trade makes the Mavericks pretty damn good. When you think about having 2 capable centers to play next to Anthony Davis and Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively once he comes back from injury, it is a good basketball move for Dallas. But long term, I can't understand it for the life of me. Granted, if you are Nico Harrison and company and that is genuinely how you felt about Luka, fine. Shop him. Put him on the trade market. See what you can fetch for him. You're telling me that this is all you could get for one of the game's all-time greats? It's more to the story than what's being reported. And this is where politics come into this thing with reporting and then the facts. Because if you're Nico Harrison, the messaging that is coming out from ESPN, from Mark Stein, and other well-respected journalists across the country that cover the NBA, when you swing this narrative of, oh, we didn't trust Luka to be in shape, oh, we didn't want to commit that type of money to Luka because we have questions about his work ethic, that's how you spin it to make yourself look good. You don't think Luka Doncic probably told the Mavs, hey, not going to lie, brother, love being here, but I'm not signing a Supermax. Once you get it in your brain, once you get alerted from Luka's camp that he's not going to sign the Supermax, what do you then do? You begin to field trade offers for him. And I'm of the belief that if you would have shopped him in the traditional manner and not have been so secretive about this, you would have gotten a far greater return if you're Dallas. Point blank. I'm not trying to poo-poo on Anthony Davis at all, but the return that you got is laughable. This is one of the worst trades in NBA history.
So I got a question
for
you.
One of the worst
then.
Trades in the history of professional sports.
I got a question for you then. That's what everybody said, if I remember, about the Barkley trade when he went to the Suns, which was probably before you were born. But anyway, would you have preferred to see this trade instead of with AD and the Lakers for Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
Hell no. Hell no.
You think that would have been better at all?
No. Trading Luka Doncic for anyone that is aging is ludicrous. And no disrespect to Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley can't hold Luka Doncic's jockstrap.
He was also 29, I think, when that trade happened.
This is a 25-year-old star. This is a 25-year-old.
He's only a year older than Bo Nix. Put that in perspective. He's only a year older than Bo Nix. Less than 2 years older than Jaden.
Being traded for nothing. And that's the frustrating part to me is, if you're Nico Harrison and company, how do you, if you're a Mavericks fan, how the hell do you look at your GM and not want to smack him across his face? This was a terrible move, a terrible decision. Any way that you slice it. And if you're the Lakers, bravo. Bravo to Rob Pelinka. Bravo to Jeannie Buss. Say what you want about the LA Lakers over the course of time. Death, taxes, and the Lakers having a megastar in their market. Death, taxes, and the Lakers having a megastar in their market. It doesn't get much bigger than this. You go from Kobe to LeBron to now Luka Doncic. How do you like that? 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. Your reaction to one of the biggest deals in the history of professional sports, man. Luka Doncic dealt early this morning to the LA Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Plus, we will look more in depth at the Lakers' side of this trade next here on The Fan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I got David Aldridge, senior writer for The Athletic, going to join the program. We get his thoughts on the trade that shook the NBA to its core last night. Luka Doncic traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the LA Lakers for Anthony Davis in a 2029 first-round pick. Just simply not enough capital. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I will take you up to 3 o'clock. A lot to get to here in the next couple hours. Right now, I want to continue to talk about the trade that went bonkers last night. And we've talked about it from the Mavericks perspective. I think it's one of the worst deals I have seen in my lifetime. Right? I know there are obviously big-time trades that have happened. I see people tweeting did you not see what the Wizards did, trading prime Chris Webber for Mitch Richmond? I wasn't alive for that. Don't know how bad that trade was in hindsight. But this is not comparable. I don't think anything's comparable to this. This is a 25-year-old star who you can make the argument is the best player in the sport being dealt for Anthony Davis. And I'm not saying it like that to try and disparage AD. That's not at all what this is about. Anthony Davis is an all-NBA performer and one of the best two-way players this game has seen this century. Not even close. When he is dialed in and locked in, he is as impactful as they come. He's not Luka Doncic. And he's 30. Luka's 25. My thing is this, and I know we're supposed to be looking at the Lakers side of this, but I just can't wrap my head around Nico Harrison's decision-making. Do you know what type of offers you would have gotten if you would have made it public that you were trying to move on from Luka? The thing to me that, the smoke screens immediately go up if you're another team, though, because it's like, well, why do you want to move on from a 25-year-old phenom? And that's where things get interesting. There are plenty of stories about Luka's off-the-court habits and how much basketball means to him and how much he loves the game because he is consistently, quote unquote, not in shape. Well, Luka doesn't miss a whole lot of games. So for as bad a shape as people say he's in, damn sure isn't impacting him from a games played perspective. He's played only 22 of 49 possible games this year. Last year, on way en route to the NBA Finals a season ago, 70 of 82 games played. The year before, 66 of 82 games. 65 of 82 games. The year before, 66. He is a guy that's going to give you 65 to 70 games per year. That's more than enough when you think about the rate that other guys are missing games in this sport. So I don't want to hear anything about Luka not being in good enough shape. You're not going to tell me that. As bad a shape as you've talked about him being in, last year it was 33, 9, and 10 with a steal and a half, and they punched their ticket to the damn finals. Like, that is not something you just give away. From the Lakers' perspective, I think you're set up brilliantly here. And I wonder if you're L.A., rumor has it that LeBron James was not made privy to this move. If LeBron wasn't made privy to this move and Rob Pelinka is just out here moving how he wants to move, trade LeBron ass too. Hit the reset button. Hardcore.
What if they traded Bronny in the trade?
I mean, I could care less about whether
I know, but you know how livid Bronny, that would make LeBron.
I could care less at this point. I think Bron, people need to watch how the tone that they talk about LeBron and Bronny with. LeBron's a professional. Bronny's a professional. What happened is a result of him earning the power that he has. I don't think he'd give a rat's ass if he got traded.
I don't feel anybody gives Giannis's brother as much crap as Bronny gets.
It doesn't even matter. It's two NBA players. I think the point of the matter is, if I'm Rob Pelinka, this season's a wash if you're LeBron. The Lakers are not going to compete for a title in the West as currently constructed. I know there are rumors about their interest in Jonas Valanciunas and other potential bigs in the association. They got to do something to this season as a wash. I think it's more likely that LeBron gets dealt. I truly do believe that it's more likely to me that LeBron gets dealt at this point. And I know people are going to be like, huh, why would they do that? Just think about it here. If you're the Lakers, start your rebuild around Luka. Go get you some assets and pieces. Obviously, LeBron's got a no-trade clause, so you can only get so much back. But you don't think LeBron would want to? We know LeBron wouldn't mind playing in Golden State with the Warriors. If you were the Lakers, I'm calling the Warriors and getting them on the phone and saying, what would you give us for LeBron? Because now if you're L.A., moving off of AD, your title hopes are out of the window. You have to now stand on business, so to speak, and make this deal work. Your reaction to this deal, though, 1-800-636-1067. Derek from the chat. What's up, Derek?
Linnell, what's going on, brother? Yo, I respect you as a basketball mind here. I respect your opinion. I'm hearing you say a lot about Luka's past concerning this trade. He played 72 games last season, whatever last season. He played a lot of games last season. As a GM, right, your superstar, he goes to the finals. He gets a glimpse of that, right? You would want him to come back hungry to get back, wouldn't you? Be in shape, ready to play the rest of the season. I don't think the GM saw that. I think they saw him sipping a beer that Mike Finley had to snatch out his hands after they lost the finals. And then he came back this year, and there was no motivation from him. So with that being said, you've got a team constructed right now that's kind of ready to win. You got Kyrie that's on his last leg, Klay Thompson that's on his last leg, and a couple of young pieces that are good for a championship run. Adding AD to this team, yeah, it might not look too great to some people on the surface, but when you really dig down to it, this Mavs team can compete for a championship now as they are constructed. At point guard, they have Kyrie Irving, who's been to a championship and won a championship. Klay Thompson at shooting guard, who's been to a championship and won a championship. Derrick Jones at small forward, been to a championship. AD at the four, won and been to a championship MVP as well. And then you have Lively and Gafford on the back end. That's a strong team in the West. As far as it goes for the Lakers, they've got their superstar, as you said, for the future. Luka Doncic is going to sell tickets. He's an international superstar. Everybody knows that, and that's great for the L.A. market. But that is not going to win you a champion. Who's going to rebound the ball from these step-back trades from LeBron and Luka? Rui? That's not going to work out.
Well, that's what I said, Dave. The team is not currently constructed to win. Long-term, the Lakers are the winners of this trade. In the short term, yes, Anthony Davis playing next to two capable fives like Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively when he returns from injury is favorable. I get all of that. But still, is this team better than Oklahoma City?
Well, they have more championship experience as built. I think they're veteran savvy. I think they can make a run if they play them in a seven-game
series. How many guys outside of Kyrie Irving on this roster right now can create shots for themselves and others? That's my question for you, Derek.
Klay Thompson.
Is it creating a shot for anybody, Derek? They Klay have Thompson, a missing hole in this roster. I hear what you're saying. I like it in your starting five. But what happens when you have to have bench minutes? Who is going to be the guy for the Dallas Mavericks outside of Kyrie Irving that can create for themselves and others?
It's going to have to be a team. It's going to have to be a team scheme. I know that the NBA nowadays it's a lot of individual play in today's NBA. I get that. With the Mavs team as it's constructed, they can go back to playing a team game, a Boston Celtics from 2008, if you don't mind.
They can move the basketball. They've got perimeter shooting in the front court with AD and PJ Washington. I just don't know. It's going to be a good defensive team. They'll be big. Are they good enough to stop Minnesota? Are they good enough to stop the other elite teams in the West? Can they hang with Oklahoma City? I don't know.
That we'll have to see. And, you know, with NBA, these guys nowadays, they play so much. I don't know if the chemistry thing is going to be an issue for them in the run, but that's always a factor.
Houston,
but
Memphis, I still don't put them past.
Oh, they could beat Memphis. Linnell, come on. Stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Stop, Linnell. Come on.
Okay.
Houston's a young team. Again, I really look at this team as a super vet finals championship team. They've got it. They've got guys that know how to win.
We'll see what ends up happening. Derek, I appreciate you as always. Vic is in action. What's on, Vic?
You know, I don't usually call you about the NBA. I'm usually talking about the good eye. But I am pro Mavericks in this situation. Luka is a stat sheet filler. Luka is an awesome talent, highly skilled. Arguably, you could say
he's
argue he's the most skilled.
Hey, hold on, can you call him what he is?
Hold on, your definition of a winner and my definition of a winner are two different things. And I'm not saying your definition is off. I'm just saying I don't particularly agree with it in totality. What Luka has shown me is when people play real defense on him in high situational basketball, particularly last year in the finals, and situational basketball when he needs to get buckets and be the best player on the floor, he does not do it. And what I have seen looking at body language is not just physically out of shape, but mentally out of shape, as though he is now saying, you know, screw it. I'm going to just put up the shots I can put up. I'm going to take what they give me. I'm going to allow my talent to try to finish this game, as opposed to I have prepared for this in my mind. I have prepared my body for it. I have prepared for the rule, the grind, and the specifics of my skill that I have to use to slice this defense up, to open up shots for my team, and get buckets to win the game. And I don't see that from Luka. And it bothers me as a competitor that he did not come back more hungry this year. And what it seems like to me, I'm not buying that LeBron was not aware of this. I will never believe that and for the rest of my life. What I believe is they said, hey, this is an opportunity for you to play with a big distributor who can score, and we like this for you, and it may give us the opportunity to get further in the playoffs than we did last year. And we're not sold on Luka anymore, so you can have him. And what I think LeBron thinks is, I can play with another superstar, and I can get the most out of this, and let's see where it goes. I'm not even saying – I agree with you. I'm not even saying LeBron is saying he's going to win a championship. The Lakers think he's going to win a championship. But I'm not saying they're putting it out of their bag. But I do think the Mavericks, that Mavericks said to themselves, we want to invest everything we could into this young man. And he did not show us he was willing to invest everything in the title and the influence that he has gained in the 5 years he's been in the NBA. And we were expecting that from him. And it's time out for us accepting this latter millennial beta generation of I'm highly skilled, accept my influence, accept what I come with in the culture today. Are you going to win me a championship? when it's time to win a championship.
Brother,
when it's time to do the things that you need to do to win a championship.
They lost to Boston last year, a team that was just flat out better than them. He's taken them to the Western Conference Finals twice before last year. In his first five seasons, he is a winner. He is a winner. There's no arguing with it.
But every time it's time for him to be the best in those moments, the question does not come up, he doesn't have enough. The question comes up, is he in shape? That should not continue to be a question when you are a superstar.
I hear that. And that's I don't have much of an explanation for that, because I can't sit there and ignore it and act like he looks like a guy that's been in tip top shape. But look at who he's lost.
You played football in high school, Linnell. You played football in college. I know you played with teammates when you was like, bruh, come on, you're not coming to weightlifting. Can you pick it up on
for
the
sure.
sprint?
For sure. But when it's your best player. But then I also can say that when it's your best player, man, the best players ain't treated the same. That's just is what it is.
Answer me this question real quick before we go.
Mm-hmm.
If your best player is treated differently, and let's make it realistic. You in my life, I played at Grand Park High School. I don't know what high school you played at. I played on a pretty winning team. We were one of the most winning teams at that time in the county in the state of Maryland. If your best player at that particular time is stopping us from getting to the state or finishing the state, because you know there are times when they don't give it all and they got in their sprints. You know during the summertime they're not preparing their body as much as the best they can. You know in film session they're not dialed in as much as they need to be.
But, brother,
in the back
of
your brain,
brother, you know some guys got it. Some guys got it. Some guys don't, man. I mean,
But what about the guys that got it, that could give a little more, and they don't want to give a little more? What about them guys?
I hear what you're saying, but it's not like Luka being out of shape has been some major detriment to the team. They went to the Western Conference Finals the year before.
Agreed.
They went to the finals last year, and they've been to the Western Conference Finals two other times since he's been in the league. He's only been in the league since 2020, since 2019.
So my question is, what if you gave a little more, Luka?
Let's
just see if you jump off the cliff of a little more. What could that bring you?
You know what
outcome
I think it
could
is?
That bring you? And I guess the Mavericks was like, we're not waiting around to see what that's going to be.
I think it's more so of a case of Luka said that he's not going to sign the Supermax, and that's what made this thing move. I don't know, though, man. It's going to be a tricky situation.
You know what? You may be right, because let's look at it like this, too. L.A. is a influential thing in anyone's life. That's a power move for someone to play or headline something in L.A. So just maybe he may have said, I like Dallas, I've enjoyed Dallas, but I'm in America now, and I can do whatever I want because of my
L.A. is where every star would want to go. Vic, I appreciate the call as always. David Aldridge, senior writer for The Athletic, joins us next.